ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. So we continue with our discussion of the regulations of Hajj, and we mentioned the Sunan of Sa'i on our last meeting on Friday, the recommended acts during Sa'i. And now we are at the point where we discuss the Sunan of going to Mina. The Sunan of going to Mina, and or the recommended acts one going to Mina from Mecca, and that is done on the 8th day of Dhul Hijjah, and is called Yawm al-Tarwiyah, the day of Tarwiyah, or the day of quenching the thirst. So on this day the person starts Ihram from wherever he is staying, in his house or wherever he's staying, in his hotel and so on. And these recommended deeds of Ihram, we discussed them earlier, so there's no need to repeat them here. But the same applies here, which means such as, you know, to take a bath before and wear some perfume, and then declare Ihram by facing the Qibla and raising the voice with Talbiyah, which is Labbaik Allahumma bihajj. And then it is recommended to leave from Mecca to Mina in the morning, so that the person would pray Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha in Mina. Salatul Dhuhri wal Asri wal Maghribi wal Isha bi Mina yawm at-Tarwiyah wal mabitu biha hatta yusalli al-fajra wa tatlu' ash-shams. So also pray Fajr in Mina after, and then wait for the sun to rise. Salatul Dhuhri wal Asri jami'an wa qasran bi Namira yawm Arafah. And then one moves towards Arafah and pray Dhuhr and Asr, Jama and Qasr in Namira. So we continue inshallah with the Sunan of going to Mina. We said that, and Mina, we said that on the day of Tarwiyah it is recommended to pray Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha in Mina, and to sleep there. And then in the morning pray Fajr and wait for the sun to rise, and then go to Arafah. And then pray Dhuhr and Asr, Jama'an wa Qasra, together, combine them and make Qasr in Namira on the day of Arafah, which is a place on the border of Arafah. And then not to leave Arafah until before sunset. This is, even though it's mentioned under the Sunan of going to Mina or the recommended acts of Mina, but it is has to do with Arafah. Now, this covers most of the recommended deeds. So now we go to the Arkan, or the pillars of Hajj. The pillars of Hajj are first a niyyah, or intention. Of course, a person when he does any deed, any act of worship, he should have the intention to do that deed in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So without the proper niyyah, the Hajj is not acceptable, just as any other deed is not acceptable, because of many evidences, such as the Prophet saying innamal a'malu binniyat, verily deeds are by intentions. Second rukun, or pillar of Hajj, is الوقوف بعرفة. يعني الركن الثاني, الركن الأول هو النية, الركن الثاني هو الوقوف بعرفة لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم الحج عرفة. Because Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said الحج عرفة, pilgrimage is عرفة, which means being on Arafah or standing on Arafah is the main or one of the main pillars of Hajj. So standing in Arafah, and also because of the hadith of Urwa al-Ta'i, he said, I came to the Prophet ﷺ in Al-Muzdalifah after he went out for the prayer. I said, O Allah's Messenger, I came from where I live, from the mountain of Tay'. I made my animal, أَكْلَلْتُ رَاحِلَتِي وَأَتْعَبْتُ نَفْسِي. My animal and myself became very tired because we were coming so fast to perform Hajj. وَاللَّهِ مَا تَرَكْتُ مِنْ جَبَلٍ إِلَّا وَقَفْتُ عَلَيْهِ فَهَلْ لِي مِنْ حَجْ. And by Allah, there was no mountain that I passed through, but I stood on it. So, does my Hajj count? He's asking him, on the morning of Muzdalifah, after people are supposed to have left from Arafah and went down to Muzdalifah and spent the night there. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من شهد صلاتنا هذه ووقف معنا حتى ندفع وقد وقف قبل ذلك بعرفة ليلا أو نهارا فقد تم حجه وقضى تفثه وقضى تفثه. Which means whoever witnesses this prayer of ours, the prayer in Muzdalifah and Fajr, and he stood with us until we move from Muzdalifah down back to Mina, and then he stood before that in Arafah a some time of day or night, then his Hajj is complete and he has fulfilled his commitment to perform Hajj. So it means that it's not acceptable, even though he came and tried hard, but he missed standing in Arafah, so his Hajj is not acceptable. And then al-rukn al-thalith, the third pillar, al-mabitu bi Muzdalifah hatta matli' ash-shamsi wa salatu al-fajr biha. To sleep in Muzdalifah until Fajr and to pray Fajr in Muzdalifah, because of the hadith that we just mentioned, that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it a requirement that one should pray Fajr with us and witness this prayer of ours and then leave with us after the prayer, that is. Then tawaf al-ifada, the rukn al-rabi' or the fourth rukn, because of Allah saying وَلِيَطَّوَّفُوا بِالْبَيْتِ الْعَتِيقِ, and that they make tawaf around the ancient house. And Aisha radiallahu anha said, حاضت صفية بنت حيي بعدما أفاضت قالت فذكرت ذلك لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال أحابستنا هي قلت يا رسول الله إنها قد أفاضت وطافت بالبيت ثم حاضت بعد الإفاضة قالت فلتنفر إذا. Which means that Aisha reports that Safiya bint Huyay, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, got her menses or menstruated after finishing the ifada. So she mentioned that was, or Aisha went and mentioned this to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, does it mean that she is going to delay us, which means habisatuna, from returning? Because once they finish their rites, their deeds of Hajj, then they can go back. So he said, is she going to delay us? Because that means that if she has not performed tawaf al-ifada, the tawaf at the end of Hajj, of going down from Arafah and Muzdalifah, then they have to wait until she finishes her menses, and then she do it, which means there will be a delay of a few days. So he said, أَحَابِسَتُنَا هِي. So Aisha said, Ya Rasulullah, she already has, after Ifada, she has made tawaf around the house, around the Kaaba. And then she got her menses. She said, then let her come with us. which means that she has done what she is supposed to do. So his saying "ahabisatun ahi" means that this is a required tawaf, and that anybody who does not do it, his hajj is not complete. And then the fifth rukun or pillar is making sa'i or running between Safa and Marwa, because that's what the Prophet ﷺ said, and he did, and he also said, "Us'u فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السَّعِي." This is in Musnad Ahmad and others. It's an authentic hadith, which means make sa'i, perform sa'i running between Safa and Marwa, because Allah has required that from you. These are considered arkan, pillars, which means that if any of them is not fulfilled, then the hajj is not complete. Now, the obligations of hajj. Number one, al-ihramu min al-miqat. You know, a pillar is of higher status than an obligation. An obligation, if a person misses it, he can make it up by other means. But a pillar, if it is missed, you know, like a building, if it doesn't have a pillar, the building falls. But if it doesn't have a window, you know, you can replace it with something else, or if the window is broken, you can fix it and so on. But the pillar, if the pillar falls, the whole building will fall, because it stands on them. So the obligations of Hajj are, first, al-ihram min al-miqat, to perform ihram at the place al-miqat, as we described earlier, by taking off, by a person taking off his clothes and wearing the clothes of ihram, and then declaring Hajj by saying labbaik Allahumma bi umrah, or labbaik Allahumma hajjatun wa umrah. And then another, second obligation is to stay in Mina during the nights of Tashriq. Nights of Tashriq, which means the nights of the 3 days after Eid, the nights of the days after Eid, which means the night after Eid. Eid is on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. So that night of the 10th is one of the nights of Tashriq, and the two nights after it. So it is an obligation to sleep in Mina during these nights, because the Prophet ﷺ slept there, and he only gave permission to the shepherds of the camels, that وَرَخَّصَ لِرِعَاءِ الْإِبِلِ فِي الْبَيْتُوتَ يَرْمُونَ يَوْمَ النَّحْرِ ثُمَّ يَرْمُونَ الْغَدَ وَمِنْ بَعْدِ الْغَدِ بِيَوْمَيْنِ وَيَرْمُونَ يَوْمَ النَّفْرِ. So he gave permission for some of the shepherds to stay where their cattle was. Otherwise, a person is required to stay in Mina.
3 days.
Yeah, but we will see that the last day it is optional. The first 2 days or two nights are required. And then the third obligation is to throw the stones in sequence, in the right sequence. On the day of Eid, or the day of Nahar is called, to throw 7 stones at Jamrat al-Aqaba, at Jamrat al-Aqaba or al-Jamrat al-Kubra, and these places are well designated, or there are signs to tell which is which when a person is there. So to throw these 7 stones, and then to throw Jamrat, each Jamrah is like, you can consider it a set of 7, because every time you throw 7 stones, but not together as some ignorant people do, but one at a time. So you should have 7 with you, and you throw them one by one. So on the second day, on each of the remaining 3 days of Ayyam al-Tashriq, to throw 3 Jamrat, which means 3 sets of 7s. Each day this should be done after Zawal, after the sun moves from the zenith, declines from the zenith, which means after Dhuhr time starts. Once Dhuhr time starts, one can throw the stones in sequence. كل جمرة بسبع حصيات يبدأ بالأولى ثم الوسطى ثُمَّ الْعَقَبَةَ. So one starts with the الصُغْرَى or the first جَمْرَة, or the, and then the medium, that's how they are called, and then جَمْرَةَ الْعَقَبَةَ or الْكُبْرَى. So he goes to each one of these three places and throws seven stones, and the distance between each one of those and the others is about, and maybe 150, 200 meters, something like that, about 200 yards or so between each one of these two places and the next. And nowadays they have them on three, on two levels, so people can throw from below or above, and more people prefer to go above. But 2 years ago we heard of these, what you call stampede, where people were pushed and some of them fell over the rails upstairs because people were waiting for the time of Zawal, of Dhuhr, so that they would be allowed to go in and throw the stones. And as soon as the time came, they started pushing each other, and some of them were close to the rails, even though they are high railings, but still some people pushed them and they fell over downstairs and died. So whereas downstairs it is also crowded, but the difference is that downstairs it is under the bridge, so it's like a bridge. People go upstairs on a ramp, and downstairs it's like a bridge covering the people, so it is not as hot because you are covered from the sun. So we didn't find it more crowded downstairs as people think than it is upstairs, but it depends on what the people prefer. And it is important, as we said before, to pick small stones which are about the size of the olive pits, the size of olive pits. Some people, ignorant people, bring big stones, and the Prophet ﷺ specifically mentioned to make them small so that you do not harm the other pilgrims, because if they are big, if you by mistake throw one and it reaches to the other side where other people are standing, then it will hurt them. And the way it is made is like there is like a well, a wide pool with sides, and people throw the stones into it. And because of the large numbers of people all around that are throwing the stones, you find like a continuous, non-stop shower of stones. So if you come very close, if you try to be in the front so that you can make sure that your stones will fall in inside, you'll find that you'll be hit by lots of little stones coming from every direction. So it's very dangerous, and one has to be very careful. And over there, people lose lots of things. So don't take anything with you when you go there to throw. That is the crowdiest place probably, and there's a lot of thefts that take place right there. I know a brother from Jeddah. He told me that he was throwing, and a person came and he started cutting around his pocket, or his not pocket, he had something like a belt, and he had some his passport or his stuff in it, and he was cutting around it. No, actually his thawb. It was after he finished ihram, so he was wearing his thawb, his, you know, white long shirt, and he cut around it to steal. And he held his wallet with his hand, and he looked at him, and the other guys looked at him, you know, like he's doing something normal. What do you want? This is my right. It is like, you know, they are so daring there, so you have to be very careful. And also because of the crowds and people pushing each other, you may drop, you'll find lots of piles of shoes, because people step on each other's shoes and they lose them in the crowds. So it is not possible to retrieve them anymore, because if you try to bend down and get them, somebody may step on you. So lots of things get lost, and I'm sure some important, valuable things, and that is why one has to be very careful not to take any important thing with him for rami, for throwing the stones. The fourth requirement is tawaf al-wada, which is the final tawaf after the person is finished from Mecca and he's ready from Hajj, like say he finishes his Hajj and he wants to spend a few days in Mecca, 1, 2, 3 or whatever, or 1 hour, he still, before he departs from Mecca, he has to go and make tawaf wada' 7 times, and then that would be the last thing that he sees of al-bayt, of al-Kaaba. أمر الناس أن يكون آخر عهدهم بالبيت يعني طواف آخر عهدهم بالبيت إلا أنه خفف عن المرأة والحائض. And he commands the people that the last thing they see of the house is during this final tawaf, except for the woman who is in her menses, then she is not required to perform this tawaf al-wada, the farewell tawaf. Now these are the obligations of Hajj. The fifth obligation is in regard to shaving or cutting the hair. It is an obligation, as Allah mentioned it in the Quran, لَقَدْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ الرُّؤْيَا بِالْحَقِّ لَتَدْخُلُنَّ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامَ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ وَحَلِّقِينَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ وَمُقَصِّرِينَ لَا تَخَافُونَ. Allah has fulfilled the vision or the dream of the Prophet ﷺ with the truth that you will enter al-Masjid al-Haram, the sacred mosque, if Allah wills, secure and shaving your heads or shortening your hair and not fearing anything. Abdullah bin Umar reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, Allahumma arham al-muhalliqeen, O Allah, have mercy on those who shave their heads. He said it 3 times, and every time they were asking him, and how about those who just cut it but not shave it? He kept saying, oh Allah, have mercy. So he made dua 3 times for those who shave their hair, and then finally he said, wal muqassirin, and those who cut it short. So those who shave it, they have much more reward in Hajj. And the scholars differ about this cutting or shaving the hair. Most of the scholars consider it a wajib, which means that if a person misses it, then he has to offer a sacrifice. Whereas the Shafi'is consider it a rukun, a pillar, which means if a person doesn't do it, then his Hajj is absolutely invalid. The women, yeah, they have to cut, but a little bit evenly around their head, but they do not shave, of course.
It's an obligation or pillar?
Most probably it's an obligation. There is no clear evidence that shows that it is a pillar. So that's why we lean more towards the opinion that it is an obligation.
But cutting of the hair is already included in...
But we are mentioning now the obligations in everything, including tawaf and other things. Okay, so tomorrow, inshallah, we will go over the conditions of tawaf and the conditions of sa'i. Conditions means things that are required and that happen before a thing happens. Like you say, can you mention a condition for the prayer? Wudu, tahara. So if this condition is not fulfilled, the prayer doesn't hold. But it is not part of the prayer. It's something that comes before the prayer, precedes the prayer. That's what a condition. So tomorrow, inshallah, we'll talk about the conditions for tawaf and the conditions, and we just mentioned wudu or tahara, because we mentioned before that tawaf is a prayer, and the conditions for sa'i, and then what is prohibited when a person is in ihram, and what things invalidate hajj. So inshallah we will go over these tomorrow. Tomorrow inshallah we start early. We'll start right after Maghrib or shortly after Maghrib, so that inshallah we can have more time, about a whole hour, to do more, because very soon those who are going for Hajj will be leaving. So inshallah we will give them time, and in the remaining couple of minutes we go over some of the pictures that I brought with me. And unfortunately we cannot record them on the cassette. Now this, let's see, this is a I don't know if this man, this shows Mina on the other side, and this Arafat. Okay, well, this is just a roadmap. One needs to have time to sit down and watch how the roads are, and then he can measure the distances. But I'll show these. Now, these, if they are framed, it would be more helpful. Now this shows what I described. This apparently is during Hajj, because you see the crowds. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. You see the crowds that are covering everywhere, and this is the part that we said is the roof, and this is the second floor here, and this is As-Sahan, or the first floor, and this is Zamzam. So the black stone would be on this corner, and this is the other Yemeni corner, and these two other corners are the Shami corners, and on this side would be the Hijr of Ismail. And what else? This is Al-Kaaba, by the way. That's what I want to mention. Safa and Marwa seem to be this, where these lights are. I think this is where these lights are. It goes straight this way. But it would be more clear from...
It's Maqam Ibrahim, I think it's opposite.
Maqam Ibrahim would be near the black stone behind this corner.
It would be somewhere around there.
No, it's very close to that corner. But let's see, it may be visible more on this picture, inshallah. Okay, here, this is from the side of Safa and Marwa. So this is Safa and Al-Marwa. This is Safa here, and Marwa is here. And this is the Hijr of Ismail. This is the door of Al-Kaaba, as you can see it. It is golden, it has gold gates. And Maqam Ibrahim is this here. Black stone is at this corner. And that's it.
This is like a couple miles, huh?
No, it's not that much. It's probably half a mile from Safa to Marwa.
Inshallah, we can do it.
Let's see here.
This one is much.
This is from the other side, like that one. And Safa Marwa is again on this side now. Now these are the houses of the king and the princes, which is adjacent to Al-Kaaba, and they got a fatwa that they can pray in their house, and it will count as if they are praying in Al-Haram, because there is no separation. There's only this wall, slanted wall, but they are directly connected to Al-Kaaba. Actually, you see it more here in this daylight picture.
من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Don't move, عبد الرحمن. Don't play. وشر الأمور محدثاتها. وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد. So yesterday we went over the pillars of Hajj, and we said that Hajj has five pillars. First one is niyyah, intention. That the person who is going, he has the intention to go for Hajj and not for any other reason. And the other thing is, the other pillar, the second pillar is to stand on Arafah. The third pillar is to spend the night in Muzdalifah until the morning. And the fourth pillar is to perform Tawaf al-Ifadah, the Tawaf that is performed after coming back from Arafah.
and Muzdalifah. And the fifth is performing Sa'i between Safa and Marwa. And that goes after Tawaf al-Ifadah. These are the pillars. And this we cover these after we cover the recommended acts of Hajj, of Ihram, of Sa'i, of Tawaf, of entering Mecca, and so on. Now, also we talked yesterday about the obligations of Hajj. Did we cover those or not yet?
Yes.
The obligations of Hajj. Okay. Yeah, that's what we got yesterday, and we talked about cutting the hair. So now the conditions. The conditions of Tawaf. Tawaf is to going around Al-Kaaba. At-Tawafu hawla al-Bayt. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu said, At-Tawafu hawla al-Bayt مثل الصلاة إلا أنكم تتكلمون فيه فمن تكلم فيه فلا يتكلم إلا بخير. Ibn Abbas reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Tawaf around the house is like a prayer, except that you may speak in it. You may speak while doing Tawaf. So whoever speaks, let him not say anything but good things. And because of this, because it is a salah, therefore the conditions for salah apply to tawaf. What are the conditions of salah? First, tahara. Tahara from the major and minor hadath, which means the person may not be junub and may not be without wudu to perform tawaf. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يقبل الله صلاة بغير طهور. Allah does not accept a prayer without purity, without purifying oneself with wudu. And because of the hadith of Aisha, when she had her menses in Hajj, the Prophet ﷺ told her, if Ali kama ma yaf'alu al-hajj, do like other pilgrims do, ghayra an la tatufi bil bayt wa la tusalli hatta taghtasi, except that you may not make tawaf around the house and may not pray until you take your bath. Second, covering the awrah. Like in prayer, it is required to cover the awrah. Similarly, in tawaf, one is required to cover his awrah or her awrah. Because of the hadith, the command, يَا بَنِي آدَمَ خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. O human beings, take your adornment for every masjid. And adornment means to be in the proper, acceptable shape for the prayer and for tawaf, which is a prayer. And the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anh, that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anh sent him during the Hajj, that he went, because before the Hajjat al-Wada' in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went, the year before that Abu Bakr was the one who went for Hajj and led the people during Hajj. So during that Hajj, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sent Abu Huraira to tell the people, أَلَّا يَحِجَّ بَعْدَ الْعَامِ مُشْرِكْ وَلَا يَطُوفَ بِالْبَيْتِ عَرْيَانٍ, which means from this year on, no mushrik, no pagan may make Hajj to the house, to Kaaba, and no naked people are allowed to go around the house to make tawaf. Why did he say that? Because before that, in Jahiliyyah, the people of Jahiliyyah used, some of them, to go naked around the house, around the Kaaba. And the reason for that, they used to say that their clothes are clothes that they committed sins in them. So they are sinful clothes. So they want to take them off and make tawaf naked, so that they will be completely pure after they finish their Hajj. So that is some of what Shaitan told them, and they obeyed him. So this was prohibited when Islam came, of course. And also a condition of Tawaf is that it should be 7 complete rounds. Because the Prophet ﷺ made 7 Tawaf, 7 rounds,
as Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma said, and we mentioned this hadith before.
Do we start from a certain place, or you can start from anywhere?
No, we mentioned that you start from a certain place. Inshallah, when we finish go over this,
okay,
we will try to go over a, you know, like a practical Hajj from beginning to end, inshallah. We can follow this diagram probably. And then if one leaves off even one part of these seven turns, then his tawaf is not acceptable. And if he is in doubt, then he has to take into consideration whatever he is sure of and do whatever he is in doubt about. Which means, if he is not sure whether he has done so far three or four turns, what should he do? Assume three and keep going, okay? So he can't assume four, because then he is, there's a chance that there were only three. And therefore that makes, puts a question mark on all of his tawaf. And therefore it makes a question mark on all of his hajj. So one has to assume the minimum that he is sure about. And one should make some kind of way to remember the exact number that he is making, because it is easy to forget how many turns one is making or how many tawafat one is making. So either, you know, if he can make sure that he closes his fingers after he finishes the first time, close one finger, second time, second finger, third, fourth, fifth, then after that he starts again, one, and then the last one. So if he can do that, then fine. Otherwise, maybe some people will devise other things. I don't know. Maybe he can take a pen in his with him, and he put a mark on his hand, for example, one time, then two times, then three times, or something. But some people, depending on their memory and how easy they can recognize or remember how many times they made, they may need to take certain measures to remember how many times they made, how many turns they made. And also the condition, it is a condition to start tawaf from the black stone and return to it. Which means every turn from the black stone to the black stone is one tawaf, one tawfa. Making the house to his left, which means when he makes tawaf, the house will be on his left. And as we mentioned before, that means if you are looking at it from above, that the people who are making tawaf are going counterclockwise, right? Counterclockwise. Now what if somebody wants to make the tawaf clockwise? No, but I mean it's almost impossible, because
the flow of people,
yeah, you'll be fighting lots of people to go in the opposite direction. So it will be obvious which direction you are going and what you are supposed to go.
It's probably impossible to go against the flow.
Yeah, it is possible, but it is very, very, very hard. It'll take you, you know, if you are going with them, it takes you about, in the crowd sometimes, you know, more than an hour. Maybe in Tawaf al-Ifada it takes more than 2 hours. But if you go around the floor, it probably will take you a whole day to make seven turns.
One more question. Tawaf the seventh time, you do it like continuously?
You can't stop. You can't stop, but you have to start from where you stopped. Like for instance, while you are making tawaf, they give iqamah for salah, so everybody stops and they start praying.
Okay, so you're going to start from the same place where you stopped.
Yeah, or before or after, it doesn't matter. Wherever you pray, you continue.
The whole circle. I mean, the one circle. Yeah. Here, yeah, let's start. I just want to make sure you know you can stop in the middle.
Yeah, you can. You may. Okay. And then the sixth condition is that the tawaf should be from outside the house, because Allah says, وَلْيَطَّوَّفُوا بِالْبَيْتِ الْعَتِيقِ. They should make tawaf around the ancient house. So he may not make tawaf
inside the house, which means like, suppose, you know, as we said, al-hijr is part of the house. And as we said before, that anybody has a piece of paper that we can draw on it? Okay, so we said if al-Kaaba is like this, let's say roughly it is rectangular from top, and okay, this is where al-Hajr, the black stone, is. Now this is north, roughly this is north. So this is the black stone, sorry, no, it's right at the corner. And this is where Maqam Ibrahim, and this is Hijr Ismail. This is Hajar Aswad, or the black stone here. Now, one can go through here. But we said this part, even though it is not covered by walls, but it counts as being part of Al-Kaaba. So if somebody makes tawaf like this, this doesn't count because he's going through the Kaaba. He has to go around this small, short wall, which is Hajar Ismail. You won't be able to see it in this small picture, but it's like this. And then the seventh condition is Muwalat, which means that one should Alhamdulillah. Which means that he should do it all together. He may not make tawaf and then go home, eat dinner, and then come back and continue his tawaf. He has to do it all together. If he breaks it, his tawaf, to perform wudu or to pray, then he can come or to take a short rest, because some people may get tired from tawaf. So that's permissible. But so in that case, he will continue from where he stopped. But if the interruption is long, then he has to start over. If, you know, after three or four times he remembers that he has to do something urgent and he has to go out of the haram for some reason or the other, he goes away for 2 hours or something like that, then when he comes back, he has to start over.
This is the line.
Yeah, it doesn't show Hajar Ismail. Yeah, this is the line, right? Yeah, this is the black stone. And this is Maqam Ibrahim here. Hajar Ismail is behind on the other side. This is the gate of Al-Kaaba. Yeah.
It's already lined.
There's a line where you can start. Jazakallah khair. Okay. Now, conditions for Sa'i. We mentioned those conditions that were the conditions for Tawaf. Conditions for Sa'i, which means going between Safa and Marwa, is that first, it should be after Tawaf. You cannot make Sa'i before Tawaf. Second, that it should be 7 times total, and not seven pairs, which means when you go from Safa to Marwa, that's 1 time, and then going back, 2nd time, going back, 4th, 3rd time, 4th time, 5th time, 6th time, 7th time, so that the total will be 7 spans. You go 7 spans between Safa and Marwa.
Okay,
no
more. If you go extra time,
it is not okay, because it violates the Sunnah to go more. If somebody is not sure whether he made 5 or 7, then he has to make 2 more.
Thing is, where you start from, starting point, you can start from Safa.
Safa. No, we mentioned this, that you should always start from Safa.
Okay.
So it is a condition actually to start with Safa and end by Marwa.
That count is 1 when you
enter. Yeah. And also, it is a condition that Sa'i should be done in Al-Mas'a, which means in the place which has been prepared for Sa'i. Because this is how the Prophet ﷺ did. So one cannot go outside, for example, or outside the building, and go to a place parallel to Al-Safa and say, this is where Safa would be, so he starts there, And he goes to a place parallel to Al-Marwa and he says, I stop here. And then goes back. This is not acceptable. Okay, what things are prohibited during Ihram? It is prohibited during Ihram to wear tailored clothes, as we said before.
Can you
put
a pin if you
want to tie it? Yeah, you may. The important thing is that the garments that you wear are not tailored to your body.
What are tailored?
Tailored means they are made for the size, for your size, and sewed in the right way for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It shouldn't be.
Sewed is okay?
Huh?
Sewed is okay. Okay, it's not fitted for you.
It should not be fitted for your body or for any other person's body. It should not be fitted or tailored for any person's body. It should be, you know, like general garments that can be tied to any person. That's for men, of course.
It has to be two pieces, like two pieces of cloth.
Yeah.
For the top one, right?
Yeah, we mentioned that before. That's what it should be. And we are talking, this is about men, of course. We said women, they wear their normal clothes. So it is prohibited to wear the tailored clothes because of the hadith of Ibn Umar that a man said, O Allah's Messenger, what should the person in Ihram wear? And he said he should not wear a shirt, this is a shirt, nor amaim, which means turban, nor sarawil. Sarawil means the underpants. Yeah, the pants, the long pants that you were under the shirt. Wal al baranis, wal al khifaf. What is burnus? I think it is the like a cloak. Yeah, cloaks. Nor khifaf, nor the fitted shoes. We're not talking about sandals.
What do you mean by cloaks?
Cloak. It's like bisht. You know bisht. The what you call it?
Abaya. How about the slippers? Like when you slip in.
Yeah, slippers are okay. The what is prohibited is the khuf, the shoe that covers the foot.
Oh, no.
Except for a person, the Prophet ﷺ continued, except for a person who could not find sandals, then he may wear khuf, the shoes, the closed shoes. But he should cut them shorter than the ankles. So if he has a khuf, like what some people wear, then he should cut them under his ankles. وَلَا تَلْبَسُ مِنَ الثِّيَابِ شَيْئًا مَسَّهُ زَعْفَرَانٍ أَوْ وَرْسٍ. And do not wear clothes that have been touched by za'faran or worse, that is yellow-colored kind of adornment or ornament, adornment that people, you know, put on. They have some smell and they have appearance of celebration or something like that. Like the bridegrooms used to wear this yellow stuff and some other people. So he said, do not wear things like that. And they have some smell in them. And for the one who cannot find anything but pants, or I mean sirwal, and khif, to wear them without cutting, because of the hadith of Ibn Abbas, in which he said that the Prophet ﷺ said in his khutbah in Arafat, "Man lam yajid al-na'alayn falyalbas al-khuffayn." Whoever couldn't find sandals may wear khuf, and whoever could not find izar, the thing that you tie around, فَلْيَلْبَسْ سَرَوِيلَ لِلْمُحْرِمِ. Then he may wear sirwal for the one who is in ihram. And sirwal, as we said, is like the pants. It's a white kind of pants, loose pants. It is prohibited also for the woman to cover her hands and face in ihram, because of the hadith of Ibn Umar that the Prophet ﷺ said, لا تنتقب المرأة المحرمة ولا تلبس القفازين, which means the woman in ihram may not cover her face with niqab nor wear the gloves, but it is permissible for her to cover her face when the men pass by her, because of the hadith of Hisham bin Urwa from Fatima bint al-Mundir,
who said, كنا نخمر وجوهنا ونحن محرمات ونحن مع أسماء بنت أبي بكر الصديق. We used to cover our faces with khimar, which means the cover, their head cover. They bring it over their faces while they were in ihram, and they were with Asma bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq, who is the sister of Aisha radiallahu anhuma. Yeah, Zatun Nitaqin. She is the mother of Abdullah ibn Zubayr, the wife of Az-Zubayr. It is prohibited for a man to wear a turban or something like that to cover his head, because of the hadith that you mentioned earlier.
What?
But turban, something that you wrap around your head, like some of the brothers today were wearing. Amama, yani. But it is permissible to cover oneself from the sun with a umbrella or something like that, or a tent, because of the hadith that we also read before, that the Prophet ﷺ asked them to make a tent for him in Namira, when he stopped in Namira on Arafah to give the to pray and to give the khutbah that we read it the long discussion of his Hajj. And then where's Namira? Does it show it here? Masjid Namira. Okay, so it is, as you see, it's on the border of Arafah. Okay. And then, At-tib, it is not permissible for the person in Ihram to put any perfume, to wear any perfume. لا تلبسوا, because of the hadith of Ibn Umar, لا تلبسوا من الثياب شيئا مسه زعفران أو ورس, as we read earlier that hadith. And also because what the Prophet ﷺ said in regard to the person who died while he was in ihram, he fell off his animal. So the Prophet ﷺ said, لا تحنطوا, do not put any perfume on him like you usually put for the dead people. ولا تخمروا رأسه, and do not cover his head when you bury him. Because فإنه يبعث يوم القيامة ملبيا, because on the day of judgment he will be resurrected saying تلبيا. Okay, لبيك اللهم لبيك. But as we said before, it is permissible and recommended rather, before one wears the ihram, to take a bath and to put perfume on himself before wearing, but not on his clothes. And then that's it. After that, while he's in the ihram, he is not allowed to wear any more perfume. And then it is prohibited to clip the nails or remove any of the hair by shaving or clipping or anything pulling or anything like that, because of what Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَلَا تَحْلِقُ رُؤُوسَكُمْ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ الْهَدْيُ مَحِلَّةً, do not shave your heads until الْهَدْيُ, the sacrifices, reach their location, which means until you sacrifice on the day of Eid. I just remembered that this picture has, no, not yet, the picture of the Hijr of Ismail is right here. It doesn't show very clearly.
Border like line.
Yes, it's a very small, short wall here behind that Kaaba. Okay, and then that's true, it will be hard. You're right. There is a consensus among the scholars that it's prohibited to clip the nails for the person who's in ihram. It's permissible for the person who that the hair is hurting him to pull it, and but in that case he has to offer a sacrifice, as the Prophet, as Allah Azza wa Jalla said, فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا, as for the one who is sick, أَوْ بِهِ أَذَى مِنْ رَأْسِهِ, or he is hurt. And he has a hair, a pain in his head, then he may remove hair, but فَفِدْيَةٌ مِنْ صِيَامٍ أَوْ صَدَقَةٍ أَوْ نُسُكٍ, he must offer a fidya, a ransom, by of fasting or sadaqa or nusuk, which means sacrifice animal to slaughter, if he has to pull hair. Like somebody say that they have to shave some of his hair
to treat him or something, then in that case this may be done, but he has to offer a sacrifice. No. And Ka'b bin Ajra, that the Prophet ﷺ passed by him while he was in Hudaybiyah, before he entered Mecca, and he was in Ihram, and he was cooking. He had a fire lit under a pot, and Al Qummal falling on his face. The fleas, what you call them?
Ticks.
Ticks, something like that. They were. He had so much of them in his hair, and they were falling on his face. But he was in Ihram, he did not dare to cut his hair so that he would not invalidate his Ihram. So he said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
can you just wipe them off?
Yeah, but they were filling his head. His head is long and it is full of them.
Lice.
Yeah. He said, أَيُؤْذِيكَ هَوَامُكَ هَذِي, are these insects or whatever they are hurting you? He said, yes. He said, فَحْلِقْ رَأْسَكَ, shave your hair. وَأَطْعِمْ فَرْقًا بَيْنَ سِتَّةِ مَسَاكِينَ وَالْفَرْقُ ثَلَاثَةُ أَعْصُعُ أَوْصُمْ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامُ أَوْ أُنْسُكْ نَسِيكَ. He said, then shave your head and then feed فرق, a certain amount of food between among six poor people. And the فرق is three times as much as two hands cupped together of food, or fast 3 days, or slaughter an animal. Also, it's prohibited during Ihram to perform intercourse or anything that leads to it, or to commit any of the sins, or to argue and dispute with people. All of these are mentioned in the ayah in which Allah Azza wa Jalla says, الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج. The Hajj is specific months, and whoever decrees Hajj on himself or decides that he wants to perform Hajj that year, then he may not do any rafath, which means approach his wife, or fusuq, sinning, or jidal, arguing and disputing in Hajj. Also, it's prohibited to perform, to court a woman, or to perform a marriage contract, to execute a marriage contract during Ihram, because of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, لا ينكح المحرم ولا ينكح ولا يخطم. A person Ihram may not seek to marry, or be sought in marriage, or he may not perform the marriage contract, or it may not be performed on him or her, and he may not be courted, or she may not be courted, which means nobody may come and ask for her hand, or he may not go and ask for somebody's hand while in Ihram. So both khutbah and